This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. If you go to znstainedglass.com, Zach Nafzinger's website, you'll be confronted with a riotous smackdown of color and light. 30-something Mr. Nafzinger did two rounds of art-focused undergraduate work. And these days, even though he has a full-time job and a full-time family, Zach still does stained glass just as full-tilt boogie as he possibly can.
I actually started stained glass in high school. My parents, since they worked both at EMU, took cross-culturals to Europe, so I always went with them. What happened was, I think my beginning of my junior year, I had enough credits to graduate high school already because of language credits, cross-cultural credits, history credits, everything. But I didn't want to. I liked it. So I took a bunch of independent studies, and a lot of them were stained glass, where me and my art teacher basically taught ourselves how to do this. And
your art teacher didn't know how before? What a brave art teacher.
Yeah. She was very inspirational and motivating to all of her students, but I think especially me. We got along great.
How did you decide you were going to do this stained glass stuff?
Something that always appealed to me. I remember growing up, you know, on these cross-culturals where we would be in these great places of grandeur, huge cathedrals, and the all stone and the light streaming in. And it's something that always stuck with me. I just always loved the power of stained glass.
Was it the light that had the power? What it did to light?
I think so. It's sort of the juxtaposition of the cold stone building with the marble floors and just the space of it that can be changed. That just the color temperature of it can mean something. You know, if the sun hits a blue window, the place gets cold. If it hits a red window, it warms up instantly. It's something that doesn't happen with most art.
What was your first stained glass like?
It was very simple. I had to first teach yourself how to cut a straight line and then teach yourself how to cut a curve. And that's the gist of it. So the first one was all straight lines.
And what were you cutting with?
It's actually a tool that scores the glass. So it's just a wheel that basically puts a line on it.
A mechanized wheel or a...
It's a handheld cutter. It's hard to explain. Like the first one I had looks like a pencil and just a metal roller on the end of it that actually scores a line into the glass that tells it where to break eventually.
So you score the glass and then you sort of hang it off the edge of a surface and whap it?
Sort of. You can do it by hand. There's tools that have a slight curve in it. It's called a running plier that helps break the glass. You know, it's glass, so it doesn't always do what it's supposed to do. Certain glass does different things. There's different thicknesses. Found the color of glass makes it break differently.
Really?
So, yeah, it's really anything. Even the batch that it comes out of, you know, half the sheet will break exactly how it's supposed to. The other half will just shatter into a billion pieces.
And you're doing mosaics.
Ideally not, but yes.
I want to go back to you and your teacher in high school. Did you know where to get glass? How did you get started?
I think I proposed the idea as something I'd be interested in learning, and she bought into it right away. There was, at the time, one glass store that was run out of a little shed in Harrisonburg. It was specifically for stained glass people. Like, the spectrum of glass is endless. There's multiple companies that create it. The original store was very small. It had, you know, a limited selection, but I think any new place would. So at the time, it wasn't frustrating for me. I could always get enough of what I needed. I think my studio now is about 3 times bigger than that glass shop was. So that's nice to have, too.
What's to learn about stained glass? How is stained glass put together?
There's several ways to do it. There's a Tiffany style and a leaded style. The way I do it is a Tiffany style. And so each piece is cut and then wrapped in a copper foil and then a chemical is applied to it that makes it bond with the lead and tin solder. And then the whole thing is soldered.
And what's the other way?
The other way is a lead came method where you actually stretch the lead to go around each piece. That would be where the solder lines would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that is cemented in with the glass in place.
What made you choose the one you chose?
I picked the Tiffany style because it lets me get much, much more detailed in what I do. The piece size and, you know, I'm working on a window right now that has just shy of 2,000 nothing but circles in it, and they get down to, you know, half the size of a pinky nail. That I could never do in lead cane, but I can in Tiffany.
And you're happy while you're doing this.
Yeah, I am at peace, say the least.
Okay, we'll get up to that, but I'm not through with you in high school yet. When did you realize this is for me? Because this is for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Why?
It was a lot of things. I think the originality of it, it's not something you run into every day. And the advantage I have with glass is that I also get to play with light. And it's something that doesn't happen in art very much. It's either a projected or a reflected image. And with stained glass, it's really both. I'm changing the entire mood of a room, not just the area of my painting or drawing.
All right. Back to my original question. When did you know this was for you?
I don't think I really exactly knew that until my second round of college. I think by that point I had put enough out of other types of art that I still always went back to stained glass. Like that was something that really pushed me to do better and greater things. Everything else didn't give me the opportunities that stained glass did.
No, you're talking about opportunities that you understand and a pushing that you understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand them. So what was pushing you?
Just the need to create. Like I always knew I wanted to be an artist. That was never a question. Just an artist at what or in what was mm-hmm. what I had to find out. I guess that's the pushing part. The other part, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's the chance to be really good at something that most people aren't.
Okay. Well, talk about technique that you had to learn and stuff. It seems impossibly difficult to me. And also, it seems as though I would just be a mass of glass cuts.
I mean, I am, and I've done it for 16 years. You can never get past the glass cuts. You know, there's the main steps, like everything always has to go through the same process. It has to be cut. It has to be sanded. It has to be foiled with copper tape. It has to have flux on it, and it
has to
be soldered.
And when you say foiled with copper tape, that's the edges?
Yes. Basically, every piece gets an outline of copper.
And then the fourth thing was?
The flux.
What's the flux?
The flux is the chemical that makes the copper and the lead eventually bond.
It sounds like there is a lot of craft involved, but the art would be the creation or the visualization of the piece?
I think so. And I design all my own pieces, too. None of my stuff hangs on suction cups or is drawn by anybody else. If I'm going to make it, it's going to represent a part of myself.
It's you.
Yeah. And I don't want people to remake my designs. I don't want to be mass-produced anywhere. I want this to be an art form in a medium that isn't considered an art form usually. Yeah, you can have a billion puppy dogs on suction cups with unicorns and rainbows all you want, but it doesn't help my medium become an artistic form anymore.
You feel very, I want to say, possessive of and defensive for?
I am both. I really feel that it is my medium. It feels like it was made for me to at least work in, if not specifically for me.
Have you felt this way about anything else, this kind of possessiveness?
A couple things, but...
Yeah, but is this how you're wired, or
yeah,
is it just what stained glass does to you?
It is, kind of, but it's also what stained glass does to me.
You're a zealot.
Mm-hmm, I am.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm a purist and a zealot.
All right, there we have it. And thank you very much for coming in.
That's it.
And purists and zealots are, I would think, trying to write a misperception, maybe?
And it's very possible. And I think it's something I deal with a lot in even getting into art shows and things. People ask me the medium and I tell them stained glass and I'm like, oh, we don't really do that here. I'm like, oh, but you don't really know what you're talking about either. So, and then, you know, the portfolios come out or the websites, and it can usually change someone's mind pretty quick. I like to think I have some impressive stuff in there.
It sounds like stained glass is art.
Mm-hmm.
There's craft in designing it, but the finished product is art.
Mm-hmm.
When did you know that?
I think I knew it, or knew it better, when more and more people started telling me that. I'm an awful salesman, you know, of the whole art is a business thing. I'm more of the lock me in my studio and I'm happy for the rest of my life. You know, put me on a sales floor and I'm miserable for even if it's 15 minutes. I just don't do that well.
Do you go to shows?
I do. And I do.
Do you take a friend?
Yeah, before we had our daughter, my wife would come with me and she would, you know, I would somehow get to just wander away. And
she'd be the mouth.
You're on your own. It's a little harder now that, you know, one of us always has to be with the baby. So
take me through the process of you just want to go in and do something.
Okay.
What happens?
There's two ways I do that. And usually that's most of the things I make. A lot of what I do is what I call show pieces that basically are intended to, you know, catch people's attention, show examples of what I can and can't do. And the way I do those is I either get an idea that sticks in my head or I...
Idea from?
Anything. That's the beauty of it. I think too many people waste their time looking for inspiration when it's all around you. You just have to pay attention to what you're doing. I mean, I've had the same job with the same commute for 11 years. And I can find something interesting every time on the way to and from work. I've sat in the same office building for 11 years. There's amazing things in there that, you know, you still see for the first time every day. So you get inspiration, and then I either just start making something with absolutely no design. And,
you mean pick up a piece of glass and start etching
just
it
start
and
cutting.
With not a clue?
Nothing.
I just wanted to be sure of that.
And so kind of one piece makes the next piece, and suddenly, you know...
And most of what you make are windows.
Mm-hmm.
They're just designed to be windows in people's houses and buildings?
Yep, and that's pretty much it. I do a couple other things. I make little candle holders and some jewelry boxes. It's mostly to use up extra glass and as a break. It's hard to create new every time. So,
do you ever draw stuff out?
Yeah, I do probably 70% of the time. And, you know, most of that is sort of on the abstract line of design. You know, a simple line in the window will create the rest of the lines, you know, a flowing line or however I choose the window to be set up. It's always that first line that makes or breaks it. In the design process, I can spend a day and a half drawing one line and the rest of the window takes 15 minutes to draw.
Are they abstracts?
Yeah. I stay as far away from puppies and people faces as I possibly can.
Anything representational?
Yeah. And, you know, that's...
So it's about light
and
form and shape.
Yeah, and that's sort of true. This year I did get into sort of a new growth theme, which was I ended up making an entire garden of wildflowers just because it was springtime and I was having a baby.
And these were windows?
Yeah, and one idea kind of inspired the next idea, so I would get... 5 pieces cut while the back of my mind is, you know, generating these new ideas. And suddenly I, you know, the next day I have 4 designs on top of what I'm working on and everything's done and I don't know what to do next. And so I start another one and I like to stay busy.
So you can trace sort of the changes in your life with you and your stained glass?
Absolutely. I have a really large closet filled with finished windows. So, yeah, every once in a while we pull them out and we put them in chronological order. And you can see progression from good times to bad times, even in the way I approach a design in the first place or the colors I've used. It makes a visual timeline of your life.
How much time do you put in on this, on an average?
Up until this year, I'd probably say about the same amount of time I did at my actual office job.
Okay.
And so I was really... 50 hours a week there, 50 hours a week in the studio.
And now
it's
didn't sleep.
Yeah, sleep is the option. It always is. And that's a little harder with having a baby. So what I try to do is only work, like on the weekends, I work while she naps or goes to sleep for the night. And so the two naps give me about 4 hours, and the nighttime gets me in my studio about 8 every night. During the week, that's about all I get. So from 8 to... midnight or 3, depending on how well I keep track of time.
An easier life would be to have a much more hobbyist approach to this. And I wouldn't call the way you approach it hobbyist at all.
It would be nice to not be so connected to it. but yeah, because I'm not a hobbyist. If I do it part-time, it's not worth the effort for me to. It doesn't relieve me of that need. It doesn't fulfill anything. I need lots of art, and I need lots of art fast.
You'll find a link to ZN Stained Glass on the Spark page at WMRA.org.